Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ironically enough, I've been in this venue all weekend. I DJ at the World's End every Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
So I'm back for the third day in a row. We're at the Underworld. It's pitch black, so this is the first In Darkness interview I've ever done with Dave McPherson from IMI. He is about to play the stage to our right imminently, and I guess we're going to try and cover as much as we can in the time that we have together, Dave, if you're down with that.
Absolutely, and this is the best looking I've ever looked during an interview.
Well, I love that you always seem to wear this hat. Is this your lucky hat?
I've got three of these.
Okay, so yeah. It's not always the same one, but it's a similar sort of pattern and style.
Oh, it's exactly the same hat.
Oh, right.
But I just, I do change them every couple of days, so it's give me
but
a wash.
The three hats are all exactly the same model, design,
yeah,
everything.
Whatever hides my face more.
Okay, yeah. Where does that come from? Are you an insecure guy?
I am very insecure, yes.
Yeah.
I have alopecia, and when my hair fell out in 2006, baseball caps weren't my thing.
Right.
Beanies look, they sort of, if you don't have hair, it doesn't grip.
Mm-hmm.
So you look like a garden gnome.
Yep.
So flat caps were my thing, and I loved El Boy.
And what age did you start losing your hair? 2006, you say, so how old were you then?
Probably, yeah. I was 24.
So 24, what yeah. Were you, like 21 when IMI signed?
Yeah. No, actually 19. 19 years old.
Wow.
Too much too young.
I mean, let's backtrack a little bit. So you're from Brentwood in Essex, right?
Yes.
And I was looking at a list of the notable figures from there. And it doesn't seem to be what you would call a rock and roll town. You've got Frank Bruno. You've got Jody Marsh.
Well, they're both pretty rock and roll.
Well, I mean, they're not strumming on guitars or... No. You know, setting the scene alight with headbanging music. Ross Kemp, I believe, is from that part of the world as well.
Super Army
and
soldiers.
The original Stig, Perry McCarthy.
I
from
didn't
Top
know
Gear.
That one.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure some of the Prodigy, was that just Essex?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that is just Essex as a county, as
yeah,
a
well,
region.
We tried to steal what
you bring
we
them in.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the only musician on the list that I saw. What was going on in that town as a kid? Was there a music scene to speak of at all? Was there any other bands that you sort of looked up to or were peers with when you were coming up?
There was actually a really cool venue called The Hermit that sort of young, the youth could go to where there was nothing else to do other than hang around in the precinct and
smoke
shifty
and,
cigarettes.
Yep.
And yeah, we'd go to this place and... We did start a band very young. We were 13. So there wasn't a music scene as such. But also Chelmsford as well, which is just down the road,
mm-hmm.
which I've also lived in, had a place called the Y Club, which was just a place where there's like a tuck shop, but bands would play. We'd all play Nirvana covers and Green Day.
I tell you what, mate, tuck shop is not a term I have heard for a long time. And that was the best thing about school for me.
I'm pushing 40.
I'm 34. I'm not far behind, but yeah, the tuck shop, man, that takes me right back.
Yeah, big old cola bottles and cherry things and, yeah,
I mean,
spend
you
all your pocket money.
You started super young. What was the inspiration? Was it a band? Was it a song? Was it
I've always
a person?
I've always been into music. My family's a very musical family, and my dad was always playing piano nonstop in the mornings, which was a nice way to wake up.
Yeah, brothers and sisters?
My brother is obviously, Greg is in the band, and so we share, we fed off each other and we make music together. And it was just boredom and escapism, and I was a bit of a loner. So me and my friend Joe, we were best friends at infant school, junior school, and then we went to different senior schools, but we formed a band when we were 13, basically, and then Psy came in. And Nirvana was a big thing.
Right. So 91, 92?
96.
96. So Nirvana had kind of been, they'd exploded, they'd happened, but the residue was still there.
I got into Nirvana
after
Kurt died, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I never got to see him or anything, but yeah. And then like Korn, Deftones, Iron Maiden, Bon Jovi was a big thing for me. Michael Jackson, heavier stuff, Slipknot eventually, and then Linkin Park.
I mean, that's so, yeah, just key mid to late 90s period, which was so varied and rich with incredible guitar music, wasn't it? It was a good time to be young. It was a great time to be a teenager. You obviously had skate culture as well, which was massive, and I felt like it was perhaps the last great true age for alternative culture, perhaps.
Well, especially with Nirvana, because the music, like, still is pretty profound and meaningful in a sort of strange way, because it's quite hard to decipher some of his lyrical meanings.
Yep.
But it also, we could just pick up guitars and play stuff pretty easy. It wasn't complex music, so you could start making songs pretty quick, and that was quite inspiring. And then we just kept writing. And
how did you get signed? You get signed pretty early on.
We got signed lucky. We were at Hope and Anchor in Islington.
I know it well. Yeah, yeah.
Legendary
venue. That's where the Damned and all those guys used to play back in the punk era, wasn't it?
I wouldn't know. I'm not going to pretend to be super cool.
No.
but we were supporting a friend's band, and we went over because of a broken cymbal or something. And Music for Nations, who were like the biggest independent music label in the world at the time, the A&R happened to be there and liked us. And 6 months later, we signed it. And then,
and what was that like? Was it overwhelming? Was it exciting?
Yes, yeah,
was it terrifying?
Once again, too much, too young.
Yeah. Did you feel like that at the time, or just looking back?
Yeah. At the time, I thought it was amazing. I was like on top of the world, but I hadn't quite got a grip on what life was yet, or reality. So it was a bit too much. And then you get introduced to alcohol and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there should have been some living first, before the dream world.
Were you protected in any way by the label or by a tour manager or by anybody around you that was perhaps more experienced, more adult?
To a degree.
Or were you sort of thrown to the wolves in a sense and, you know, kind of been given a baptism of fire?
A bit of both. I mean, there's different people. Different people. Some people, like, try and protect you. Some people sort of maybe use you as a catalyst for their own.
Uh-huh. Well, that's kind of the
devilish means,
the double-sided coin of being in a band, isn't it? Is you are an enabler for those kind of people,
but
but you're also probably up for it yourself.
I got scared pretty quick anyway, so I went pretty straight edge for quite a few years.
Early on.
Yeah. It didn't agree. All that sort of lifestyle didn't agree with me. I got anxiety and I was getting panic attacks, and I didn't know how to deal with it. So the way to deal with it was to not put myself in. I'm being vague, but yeah, situations.
Well, anybody, I mean, I talk fairly openly about drug use on this show. Obviously, you don't have to if you don't want to, but I think anybody listening is going to get at what you're hinting towards.
It's about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's still about now in the same way?
Depends on the band. Sometimes it's the crew.
Yeah.
It really depends. Younger bands, I find, are wisening up, which is a good thing.
It is a good thing. They seem to be a lot more switched on to the perils of that lifestyle.
Yeah.
But conversely, perhaps you'll agree or disagree, I don't know, it seems to have taken some of the danger, the unpredictability, the raw energy out of a lot of more contemporary music.
I mean,
for me,
music aside, which is amazing, you know, some of the best albums have been created because of real sadness and addiction or mental health problems. Music aside, the main, most important thing is that people are healthy and happy, really,
yeah.
in themselves. And I think, yeah, I think people are, I don't know, whether it's social media or whatever, access to information, but people aren't as
naive.
Naive. They will see these pitfalls and they will avoid them, which is good. And that would be my advice, because I got churned out of drunk.
You've been, you know, to the dark side and back.
I've been there, yeah. And I'm still not back. I'm always going to be a bit broken because of choosing this lifestyle, if I'm being honest.
Do you think that it was in you before, or do you very much think that this career path unleashed it?
No, it's always been part of me.
Is it hereditary? Is it?
Yeah.
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 Parents?
Yeah. I won't go into more detail than that, but yeah, there is some sort of addictive personality thing. And yeah, I was drinking since I was like 14 years old.
Yeah.
Lots.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, you know, drunk at school.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so,
I mean,
this was bad.
There's a lot of parallels between myself and yourself in that regard, because I also started very young. I've also had a, not lifelong, but since 14, so adult lifelong, let's say, turbulent relationship with alcohol.
Yeah.
And in the past for me,
it's a love hate thing.
It's very much a love hate thing, because in the past for me, when things have gotten tough, I will lose myself in that escapism of the cloak of alcohol and the comfort of that.
Yeah.
But then obviously you sink lower and lower and lower.
It's cyclical as well.
Depression.
It can ruin your life. Oh yeah. I mean, sometimes I suffer with depression, but I don't think it's depression. Sometimes it's just, I'm depressed because of what it's done to my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm working on that. I'm in a much better place than I was a year ago. A year ago, I was pretty much ready to end it all. So, yeah.
Well, I'm stoked.
Onwards and upwards.
I'm stoked that you're
thank
you're
man.
In a better place.
We'll have a drink to that later.
You're here and you're doing it. So when did it, if you're cool with talking about it, when did it begin to unravel, really, in a kind of serious way where you... You were aware. Maybe you weren't sort of doing
aware.
Anything about
I,
it.
I,
first,
I got
but...
ever lost.
Right.
And then I was.
Are we talking in the sort of noughties period or afterwards?
No, in the last 4 years, really.
Right.
Because I was doing okay 3 or 4 years ago. I was in a good situation. I had a house.
You're churning out solo albums like No Tomorrow. So you're obviously.
Well, that was a problem, though. That is all a problem. I sort of lost sight of everything, if I'm being honest.
Did you have a conscious. Did you have a conscious break from the band during that period? Because obviously, you know...
No.
No. So the band was always there. It was always active. It was just, I guess, you slowed down a little bit, perhaps, because obviously for those first 10 years, it was like every 2 to 3 years, it was like record, record, record.
Mm.
And then I guess in the last 10 years, you're about
well,
to
the last 5 years, yeah, we've only done one album.
Yeah.
But that was just because I had a mental breakdown,
so
basically.
That was that taking over.
And yeah. But I got scooped up by my friends. And... yeah, it's, you know, some people try and help you and they don't necessarily help you.
Mm-hmm.
They make things worse. They don't mean to, but, you know.
They're like, come on, let's go out, I'll cheer you up.
Yeah. Well, no, that's cool.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, if you tell someone off to try and help them, they might just go and
you're breaking them down.
Stupid and,
yeah.
And get wasted again.
Mm-hmm.
It's all I've known all my life, so it's a very hard thing, weird thing to break out of. And also success, like my band, this is a passion project now. So back in the day, there was a lot of success and that
it became a business.
Yeah, and I got obsessed with success in my head, like I had to be successful to other people.
Right.
And that wasn't healthy. And then
do you think
it
that's
becomes
because
a lie.
You started so young and you were kind of fairly successful right out of the gate?
Yeah.
So you felt like you were always chasing that.
And it's also
it.
Like I was looking at life in a more unhealthy way in terms of measuring myself to other people
within
money,
the industry,
money wise
peers.
Or success wise or whatever, when really that's not good. You need to sort of look at yourself and find why you're unhappy instead of caring whether someone thinks you got money or not,
mm-hmm.
for example.
I mean, yeah, when you live your life by comparison, you're always going to be dissatisfied, aren't you? Because there's always going to be somebody that seems to be doing better, that's
especially
earning more, that's achieving more.
I was surrounded by very successful people.
Yes. You mean fellow musicians, fellow peers?
Or just, I don't
or
know,
you,
like...
Anyone from your past that's gone on to, you know, be a
my
banker
my partner's
or whatever.
Family or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'm like this musician that's sort of slowly losing his success.
Mm-hmm.
That's
hustling and scraping...
yeah,
getting by.
Yeah. And then feeling, well, drinking my way through that.
Yeah, because you feel like a failure.
Yeah, and then drinking to be a more, I don't know, larger than life personality, which doesn't work. You're just obnoxious and pompous.
Yeah. Well, can I tell you a story?
Yes, you may.
The first time I met you was the last show. It wasn't the last show, but it was the second last show, and it was in London, and it was the band Lost Alone, good friends of mine. And you opened up for them.
Oh, God.
And
please don't go down this road.
You'd been with the Wild Hearts the night before, or with Ginger for his birthday bash.
Yeah, one of the most embarrassing nights of my life, and I don't remember it.
Well, here's what I wanted to say, is you were clearly like out of it. But
absolutely inebriated.
What I was incredibly impressed with was how good you were. I'm being sincere, because I saw you before you went on and I was like, fuck me. Like, what's going to happen here? This is going to be a car crash. And you got on stage, and through charm, there was a lot of that, I think, which worked on your side, and the crowd were on your side. And just through this, I don't know, autopilot innate skill to somehow hold it together, you delivered this, and it was kind of...
I got told otherwise by some other people.
No doubt, but I...
I wish I hadn't been that hammered.
I quite like when things are about to come off the rails in that way. That, for me, excites me, because it's dangerous, and I feel like music should be
I really
be
appreciate
that,
and hopefully other people in the audience felt that. But as the person that did it,
yeah,
it's just humiliating and embarrassing and shameful. But you can't dwell on it too much. You have to just learn from it.
So was that...
And I've done it since.
You've done it since, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've embarrassed myself and been too drunk to do what I'm supposed to be doing. So, yeah. But then there's medical... There's recovery, and I'm on that.
So what was your steps towards recovery? What was your initial actions? And
well, first you admit you've got a problem.
Yeah.
And then you talk to people. Especially people close to you that have probably already pointed it out. And there's things to go to. You can go, there's always a, well, like in Brighton, for example, where I live, there's a thing called Pavilion, which is an NHS charity funded thing for addiction, alcohol, whatever, like mental health problems. And you seek it out. Go and talk to someone. If you've got, you can change your life. I know that sounds really, really cheesy and
hey,
cliche,
man.
But you really can. You don't have to. It's a very hard thing to change, and you know it's not going to be easy. But I still drink at the moment, but I've fixed a lot of other problems in my life, and it's just and also baby steps. You can't just change everything, like Thanos clicking his fingers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that we're all work in progress, right? Constant.
We never will be.
You have to keep at it.
We never will be fulfilled.
No.
There
are people that are, and I'm genuinely jealous of those people.
I don't believe them.
I do. I think there's those people out there that are just...
I think it's the mortal human condition to be slightly damaged.
Well, certainly when you're, I think, creative and you obviously overthink everything and overanalyze everything, those are the people, I think, that are always destined to be dissatisfied.
And overly sensitive. I'm very sensitive and emotional as a person, so that does not help.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not robotic. I can't just switch off my feelings.
It obviously helps when creating art.
You know Captain America?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, there's a really cool thing on YouTube of him just going, shh. And that's his mantra.
Right.
Turn off your brain noise.
He can just zone in on his breathing and relax.
Well, just try and rise above your brain noise.
That inner voice.
Yeah.
That's there niggling.
that's a long, hard thing to do, and everyone's different. And it's a very hard thing to explain with thoughts and stuff, because no one's inside each other's brains. And
we're all different, aren't we? That's what makes the world a exciting and magical place. But yeah, there's no way of ever truly knowing. I always feel like this with relationships, and that's friends and love and everything. You never truly know the other person. You can know them as well as
never
one
truly can.
Human being can, but you can never truly know.
Connect.
And that's why I love doing, you know, things like this. And obviously that's what you get on stage every night when you're performing and engaging
with...
Is this therapy for you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
As long as I'm not too drunk and I embarrass myself on stage. But yeah, it is absolutely lovely to hear people afterwards going, whoa, I could see the passion and feel the feelings and stuff. That's great. And also at the time, I don't look at people whilst I'm playing generally.
You don't?
No.
Is that a nerve thing? Or is it just you want to get lost in your own?
Yeah, I don't want to look at someone and they're just going, you know, I'm on radio, so you can't see my facial expression there. But
well, I do a lot of DJing, Dave, on tour with bands, and I sort of play between the acts and act as like a host and compere, if you will. And I see how tough it is for support bands in particular. When people arrive early at the gig because they're a huge fan of the headliner and they get down the front.
I like that challenge.
And they just, it's a great, I love it as a DJ as well, but I've seen bands die in that moment because there's just people on their phone, they look bored, they look distant.
Well, then you just have to.
And you've got to win them over, right?
That, or don't win them over and still just do your best, but don't let it affect what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're there though, aren't they?
You can't those win, early you door can't people. Win them all.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Do you like being the underdog? Do you like the support slot, like what you're doing tonight?
No, I'd rather be massive and really successful.
You've got to be honest about these things, right?
Yeah. I don't like the idea of fame or notoriety. So there's that. I'd have to like get a disguise or something. But I wouldn't mind just being able to
fill a room,
be a super successful
crush
musician.
It, go home happy.
You're a liar if you say otherwise.
Tell me about some of your favourite tours and live show experiences.
Well, supporting a band like Nickelback, for example.
Yeah, arena tour.
Yeah, no, it wasn't actually. They weren't quite that big then.
Right.
It was still huge.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to be in that position. And Biffy Clyro supporting us, even. We handpicked them from a Kerrang CD back in the early 2000s. And now look where they are. That would be a lovely situation. But then the grass is always greener as well. They've probably got their own woes as well, and everyone lives to their means and blah, blah, blah. And everyone's human still.
Success
doesn't equate to instant, everything's going to be okay.
Completement.
Sort of. Yeah.
I feel like as well, as the more successful you get, your band becomes more of a business because it has to by its very nature. And then that tends to encroach on the art. You know, I mean, a great example for that for me would be a band like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, who when they started out were so radical and fresh and original and, you know, just an amazing rock and roll band. And then the bigger they got, the more middle of the road they got. And now you look at them and you're just like, there's nothing alternative or exciting for me about
that band.
But then
I don't know. I mean, we don't know what's going on in their heads. They might have just wanted to mellow and
yeah,
do that
I guess age perhaps does that as well, doesn't it? You can't be slamming acid tabs and fucking doing backflips.
Well, I'm pushing 40 and I can't. I still love it. I still got the energy, but it's starting to hurt more.
Well, now you're in a new dynamic and, you know, position in the band because you're, I guess, freed from the shackles. Not that it is a shackle, but you're no longer playing guitar live, right? So
yes.
You're just front man, singer. How's that been for you?
Amazing. I adore it because
you get a lot more physical and active now on the stage.
Yeah,
you're running around
I'm
a lot more.
I'm an entertainer. I'm already thinking, like, this tour next week, I'm going to start in the crowd.
Nice.
So it's fun. And then it's just up to the guys to be this tight unit behind me. And all I've got to do is sing. I don't have to concentrate on remembering all these crazy riffs and pedals and being static to the mic. I can go for a wander. And I'm a better singer for it. I can sing over bits that there's no singing on the records. Just do some crazy stuff or do some screaming or whatever.
So has it been liberating?
It's really, really, really good. And it's the best thing that's happened to the band in a long time.
Amazing.
And getting John in.
Does it feel like a whole new chapter?
Yeah. It's the best version of In Me that we've ever been. And John's a fan. Like,
wasn't he your merch seller?
Yeah, he's got the hugest In Me tattoo on his back. And Tom's,
so how did that
Tom's
come about?
A fan.
How did him joining the band happen?
Well, I broke my hand.
Yeah.
And
so he was just like, well,
I know
the songs.
I was up on painkillers and he said, I can play every song.
And you're like, yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. We were like, yeah, right. And then they did soundcheck and went, yeah. And
turns
Dan,
out
our
does.
Tour manager at the time, was absolutely blown away. And then I did the gig. I'd never played with him before. I think, no, actually, we had done one song with him. We used to do, like, a little thing at the end just for him because he's such a fan. It's like
a dream come true
for him.
Like a little present at the end of tour or
so
something.
So it's refreshing for us to be all the jaded and cynical and be in the band for so many years and sometimes be a bit downtrodden and then just see this guy just going, can't believe it. And it's not about money, it's not about anything, it's just
that
it's about us five
exuberance and excitement, right? Fresh blood, as
fresh
they
blood.
Say.
And Tom as well.
Yeah.
Tom's been an absolute, you know, he's not just a drummer, he does all our social media, he does our art, does our videos. and he's busy with it, you know. He makes me look bad.
Well, that's the other thing, isn't it? And you must have seen front hand, really, or first hand, the change in the industry from when you first came out and, you know, records were still shifting, serious units. And that first record of yours was like a pretty high charting album.
Well, it used to make money out of it.
Sold, right? And then you live through the introduction of the streaming era, and it's a different ballgame now, isn't it? And you need to be savvy with your online presence.
Well, what's refreshing for me is this band doesn't make money. Like, it is not a career. This band is just a band.
Yeah, a functioning, side.
It's a unit.
Hobby.
We do it because we love the music we make together. We do it because we love touring, and it's hard. It's really hard, but we still do it. And you know, I might be lucky to take 50 quid home a night.
Yeah.
I'd earn more doing my job.
You'd earn more working behind the bar in the venue you're playing, probably. Yeah.
because also. The money has to go back into the band.
Of course.
That's what I'm proud of. Most bands give up. They go, oh, we can't afford to do it anymore. I'm like, well, you're not a band then.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Well, there's not many bands from, you know, when you came out, unless they just went, oh, I'm like a rocket ship to Mars and became massive, then it's obviously very easy to sustain a living. But there's not many working bands that are out there,
yeah,
perhaps at your level, 20 years in, still doing it. I can't think of many.
Maybe they're more sensible. Maybe we're stubborn.
Did you get much money, like, in terms of advances or anything like that early on?
Early in the day, yeah.
Did you put that money anywhere? Did you squander it?
I paid my rent for many, many years.
Right.
Basically, I wasn't like rich, but I was totally happy with the amount of money I had.
Yeah,
I was on a wage.
Nice.
From publishing advances, and you know, we were making money from big tours and stuff like that. But I was totally fine with that. I really would like that again.
Yeah, yeah.
But
no
I also
doubt.
Like I work for the I'm working in the NHS now, so I kind of prefer that.
And what are you doing there?
I'm a staff coordinator.
And that's in Brighton as well?
Yeah. Gaz helped me get it, and it's amazing.
This is the whole band in Brighton. Gaz is in Brighton
no,
as well.
No, just
you
me,
two.
Gaz.
Where's your brother?
Greg's in Essex.
Right.
And John's in Liverpool.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Tom's somewhere between.
He's the here, there, and everywhere.
He's a pilot, so he's probably up in the air.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool as well.
Like, really cool.
He's got a drummer that's a pilot.
Well, Iron Maiden's got the singer, haven't they?
Yeah.
Are they a band that I've heard you talk a lot about them. Are they a band that you
That'd be a good
have been inspired
stage
by?
To get to, actually, to interrupt you, sorry, would be a level where Tom's flying us country to country.
Yeah.
Then you know you've made it when your drummer's flying you to gigs.
In for a couple of hours, play the show.
Yeah.
Straight back out.
White man, I saw you drinking a yeah. couple of Budweiser.
Well, that's it, isn't it? That is it. Yeah. How is the hospital then with you taking time off for touring? Is that fairly easy to negotiate and work around?
It's flexible. Yeah. Hours, yeah.
Right, right.
That's the way it's got to be. Maybe one day I'll do full time because I love it. It's a really cool, meaningful thing to work for. And it was more just getting into a routine and getting out of bed. And being
in terms of trying to get your mind to a better place, you want some structure.
Other people.
And, yeah, well, that's the key, isn't it? You've got to get up, you've got to get out.
It was not good, and big love to Gaz for that. He sort of saved my life, really.
Were you doing that for a long time then, just being a recluse?
Yes, I was drinking myself to death as a hermit,
just on your own at home inside.
Yep,
yeah,
in the dark.
Wow, real heavy.
It was bad,
real heavy,
yeah, really dark.
Do you drink at home now? Do you make a point of not drinking at home now?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good. But I still mess up. I'm not going to lie and pretend I'm fixed.
Would you ever consider going sober?
I'm on the right path.
Yes.
As Gaz said.
Well, that's good.
I'm on the way up rather than...
On the way down.
Well, I can't get much further down to where I was at. So I'm good. But yeah, baby steps. You can't fix everything at once.
And are you in a good relationship space with alcohol now? You're happy to just, you can have a couple?
No,
and
I still mess up.
Yeah.
But I can, I've got quite a high tolerance until
right.
I don't.
Right, yeah. Do you know, I think I'm kind of the same. Yeah, you're kind of like vaguely merry
yep.
to a point, and then that one shot just sends you over the edge and you're blackout drunk from out of nowhere.
Yeah, and you need that homing beacon thing, that thing that makes you go, no. You need to sort yourself out and
slow
go back
down.
To bed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a weird one because it's an industry that encourages it.
Well, the worst is when you're running on no sleep and no food. That's when it gets, and, you know, you start the day hungover and you go straight to a beer.
Yeah, and alcohol becomes your food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when it gets
happened.
Out of hand, isn't it?
I'm not saying, like, yeah. I mean, I've been much worse, and I'm dealing with it. I'm doing things about it. I'm seeing people about it. I'll be okay.
Good man.
Because I can't, you know, it would have just ended in my death, literally.
And there's been
pretty morbid.
Well, there's been far too much of that recently.
Yeah, it would have. It was just ruining my life.
What about this new record? Has all of this gone into the lyrical content?
Oh, yeah.
Of that?
Pretty
is it,
potent.
Is it all in there and on the table? And
yeah, it's a really good...
Has that been cathartic as well?
Yeah, there's enough, like, in the past, some of the lyrics, I'm like, I don't really know what that was about. But this one, it is just pure feeling. And it's the first proper collaborative album fully, where, like, my brother and Gaz and everyone would contribute to my melodies, take out lyrics and things. So it's a band album as opposed to me writing the song and then the band doing their thing with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you kind of come in the past with the song pretty much there,
yeah,
and then they fill in the gaps and bring it to life, whereas now it's, as you say, it's a total team effort.
I prefer it. I should have done it years ago.
Well, the joy is in collaboration, right? And you always get better results,
well,
I think, from
stuff that
from
I would
bouncing
never
ideas
think
off others. That's it.
Yep.
You get another viewpoint, don't you? Another perspective.
Yeah. And then a song becomes something I could never make it. So that's quite cool. Quite exciting to see what we do next.
And what happened with the second and third album in the trilogy that you started but then never completed? Is that still going to see the light
Tom
of day?
Tom came in and John, it was like, we should just do an album.
Cement
we
the band
be
as it's new.
To a context or a concept.
That's why you should never start these things, Dave.
Yeah, you're absolutely completely correct. And initially we were going to do all three at once and that might have worked out. But it was a bit pretentious in that, but having said that, I am going to finish it.
You are? In solo form or in band form or
very
however it will be?
Band form, once I've caught up on all the stuff I should have been doing the last couple of years.
Right, such as?
A book.
Just life admin.
Things, yeah, life admin.
Are you writing a book, are you?
Yeah, sort of.
A biography or a novel? Fiction?
No, I'm not clever enough to be able to spend enough time doing that.
No?
And not patient enough. It's me just talking about every song.
Right, nice, yeah.
Then,
so Frank Turner did something kind of similar recently,
yeah,
where he took you behind the
curtain. But Frank Turner's much more eloquent and educated than myself.
Is he a mate of yours?
He is, yeah. He's lovely. He's a really good guy. He's reached out and been nice to me.
Nice. Well, I think he's been through not quite the same level, perhaps, but he's certainly been.
He's honest.
Doing stuff as well.
And he's honest in his lyrics as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he's been getting
very,
out there.
He's a very good person, and anyone that says bad about him.
Fuck him. I love Frank. He's been on the show twice. Yeah. He's a good friend.
He's just a good guy.
He is.
He's an altruist.
And he's a great songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
A great songwriter.
Very good songwriter.
And Ginger. Is he a pal of yours still? You still in touch with Ginger?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not in touch because I don't really... Well, because I went off the map.
Yeah. You haven't been in touch with anyone.
He's done me some real good favours. He took me on tour. He's put me on his birthday bashes, which probably didn't end well with the Lost Alone show.
There you go, yeah. When was the last time you spoke to Stephen Patel?
We keep touch all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in London now, right? He's moving to London.
Yeah, we're going to meet up. Since I moved to Brighton, he said he'd moved down to London. We're going to meet up. So he's a sweet guy. He's
a really nice
nuts.
Dude.
He's a bit nuts like me.
He's an eccentric, mad scientist type. Just kooky, isn't he?
Well, he's just...
And a great songwriter.
I admire his passion and dedication. And he's a funny bastard.
He is. He's quite Partridge, isn't he? In his
yeah,
humour and tone. What else has been kind of keeping you afloat, aside from the music and friends? Has there been anything else in your life?
The sea.
Yeah, it's nice kind of having the waves
very,
and the
very,
noise
very
and the
cheesy,
fresh air.
Being near the ocean and just going and looking at it and going, wow, it's the sea.
The world is bigger than me.
Yeah.
I mean, nature's
especially
the ultimate.
The stars are out there and
nature's
stuff.
The ultimate reminder and fixer, I think, for that, for
yeah,
getting yourself out of.
Yeah, none of this will matter.
Exactly. That's it. When you acknowledge the absurdity and the complete meaninglessness of it all, without being nihilistic about it.
Humans, reconnecting with people I should have been connecting with last few years. Film is my big thing.
What you been watching? What's been having an effect and an impact and an influence?
Joker was a big old bad boy for me.
A great statement on mental health.
I was worried because I sympathise with him a little bit sometimes.
Capitalist toxicity and
what
a great movie.
An amazing performance and the music and film music.
Nick Drake was in there, wasn't he?
Yes. And is that the stairs bit?
It's when he's talking. I heard a song on the radio the other day where he says, "My name is Carnival."
Okay, I and don't know who did the stairs.
The stairs
music.
Bit was, isn't it Gary Glitter? It's Gary Glitter.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Apologies.
it's funny because the Struts. I don't know whether you know those guys, but
I don't know.
They came out on stage. They came out on stage in London to that song, and yeah, it's Gary Glitter. And I was like, oh, that's a bold song.
Yeah.
But I guess that's them just going, it's a tune, and it is a tune. But then obviously it's like, well, it's Gary Glitter. Shit, should I like this?
Well, I like the scene.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Well, that's the other thing of the world we're living in now, isn't it, as well, as kind of all these artists and icons that you grew up loving, Michael Jackson, all these people, all this stuff is like coming out and you're like, oh, am I still allowed to like it?
I was listening to Michael Jackson this morning.
You have to still get enjoyment from that music, right, because the music's so good.
Well,
are you able to separate the art from the artist? I am.
I don't really want to get into it. But,
no.
He was proven innocent, and I just don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it's none of my business.
And those tunes are so good.
And, well, the tunes are
so good.
Stonking.
You don't want to be living without thriller in your life.
You know, I still play songs.
I'll
just say
interestingly,
that.
Though, I wouldn't DJ him out.
If it's true, then it's terrible.
Yeah.
And I totally,
of course it is.
You know. I'm against it, obviously, but I haven't even seen the program because I try to avoid watching depressing programs.
I mean, a show you definitely need to avoid at all costs is Don't Fuck With Cats.
Yeah,
have you heard about this?
And I don't want to see anyone
it is
hurting
so,
cats.
Well, I mean, that is the tip of the iceberg, my friend. It is one of the strangest, bleakest, don't.
Although I do like sort of macabre serial killer documentaries.
Well, then, if you like macabre serial killer documentaries, you will like this.
Oh.
But it is
heavy. I like
the
Ted Bundy one.
Yeah, did you watch the Ted Bundy movie with Zac Efron?
No.
He's good.
That's directed by the same person that made the series.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
The Ted Bundy tapes.
Yeah, it's a really good performance from him.
Yeah, because I can't understand how someone could do that stuff, it fascinates
me. It doesn't fuck with your head, because you're so removed from that.
No,
it's not the same
still,
as when.
Probably still does. Probably still something I should be watching.
Yeah.
Probably messes with my dreams.
Did the Joker have an optimistic, positive effect on
no,
you?
No, and the thing is, it was my favourite film of last year, but I don't want to watch it again.
Right, because it was that close to the bone.
Yeah. Sometimes you just want to watch something that makes you feel good, like the new Jumanji or whatever.
Yeah. I haven't seen that. I like the last one. I thought it was good fun. Is the new one good?
I haven't seen it, but I want to watch it.
You're going to be checking it out.
It's fun.
What's not to like about Kevin Hart, The Rock?
Well, it's nice escapism as opposed to...
brutal realism.
It's nice to watch brutal horror stuff
or
whatever, because then it makes you feel, well, at least my life's not that bad.
Yeah, right. Perspective again.
At least I'm not stuck in a submarine at the bottom of an ocean being attacked by sharks.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to pick up on before I let you go and eat some dinner.
Thanks, man, because I'm starving.
Marvin. Just, have you got any good anecdotes you can share from the rock and roll life? Any good encounters with any big name?
I played with Jules Holland last year.
Did you really?
Yeah.
On the Hootenanny on later or just live?
No, it was his actual gig at the Kew Gardens.
Was Pauline Black and Gaps Hendrickson?
I was on a stage like in another area.
Right.
I got to meet him and he was like, thank you so much for playing. And then watch his gig all up front. It was pretty cool.
Amazing.
That's
a little bit out of the ordinary, isn't it?
Try to think. Touring with Serge Tankian was super cool. From System of Down.
Was that when you had...
table tennis with him after having a little smoke-a-rooney in Holland.
Yeah, with him as well?
No. I think he had indulged.
He had
I
indulged.
I can't speak for Serge.
You can't speak for Serge. Is this around the time you brought out the Pride album? Was it around that time?
No, this was more Daydream Anonymous, Harold Moff time.
Right.
2009.
Right.
2007, 2008.
And so that would have been his debut solo album, was it?
But he was lovely.
Yeah?
A real sweet guy.
He is sweet. I've interviewed him a couple of times. Very thoughtful.
He brings
very
everyone
genuine.
Backstage to like discuss cool things and meditate. The Rasmus, I know they get jipped for being all poppy or whatever, but they were amazing, really good people to tour with, really nice to us, and they don't have a bad song.
There you go. And finally, Corey Taylor.
Have you
made peace with Corey?
Well... I never didn't make peace with Corey. He slagged off our band in Kerrang with Joey Jordison in 2003, and it was or 2002. It was the song Firefly.
Yeah.
Which you're never gonna expect those guys to like that song. I don't even like that song. I like our version of it now, but I don't like the version. And I can see why Slipknot members would have to absolutely destroy that song.
Yeah. And but it's almost like a badge of honour, isn't it, when you get dissed by someone like that?
That's all I cared about. I was like, Slipknot destroyed our song. And then someone brought it up on Twitter, and he apologised and said he didn't remember much from those days, so I could sympathise with that.
Yeah.
Said he would buy me a beer someday. So, Corey, give me my beer.
Well, they're in town soon. They start tour on Tuesday, I think.
Well, maybe we shouldn't drink a beer. Maybe we should...
I think he might be sober.
Yeah, maybe we should have a lemonade.
A nice green tea.
Yeah, something.
He's a good dude as well, I'm sure he...
He's a very intelligent, articulate, amazing musician, just a good dude, and I was never offended and didn't care.
I guess it probably, if anything, brought some extra eyes onto the band, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah?
Yeah, and even the tweets apologising probably made people go, who's this Dave McPherson?
Yeah, have a little spike in sales for the upcoming tour. So by the time this goes out,
sale or something. Cheers,
the album will be out. So congratulations on what seems like a very exciting new chapter in the band's story. And long may it continue, my friend. And all the best for your ongoing growth.
Stuff.
Good to meet you and see you.
Yeah,
and
cheers,
chat.
Brother.
Thanks, Dave.
That was an in-depth thing and that was a cool interview.
Lovely. Thank you, dude.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.